Kind of like Marty said, I'd have come, but I had the kids. Well, you don't want your kids in church. That's what you're saying. Yeah. But you're dealing with people that have a profession of faith, but they deny the power thereof. They're not saved. They have a form of godliness. And what you'll find is they're whatever who's ever around them.
Well, you know, I read a devotion about a guy wrote this week about that, about the proverb about the dog returning to his vomit and the sow going back in the mire. And he was talking about that, and he said in my church, he said, when I see people profess to be saved, then they go out and live like the world. He said, I don't think anything about it. They're going back to what the dog does to his vomit. Because they never
They're going back to their nature.
That's what he said. They're going back to their nature, and says that will always happen. So you can watch somebody tell whether they've been born again by what over time what they go back to.
Well, they may go to the hog pen, but they can't stay there.
That's what he said. It said you'll be chastised.
Yeah.
Or either you'll be killed. And said so you can always tell by people's lives what's going on with them. And that was pretty good devotion.
So, even Roloff used to say that most Christians die prematurely because they commit the sin unto death.
They're not faithful, that's right.
But this generation is, well, it's very immature to start with.
Yeah.
It's a very selfish generation.
Well, like me and Brian are talking about they're spoiled. Yeah. Everybody is spoiled.
They are.
Spoiled. Everybody is.
I don't know how many times I heard my kids won't eat that.
That's right.
Well, when I was growing up, my mother never asked me what I wanted.
Never. You're right, never.
And if you sit down at the table and you complained, you were dismissed.
That's exactly right.
Without food.
Yep.
And then if you said, look, I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry, Daddy would have said, I'm not going to force you to eat it. You just go and play, do what you want to do.
Yeah, well, I never remember my mom asking me what I wanted to eat. Never.
Yeah.
Picked what my dad wanted and all like that. And she never asked me and my sister, what do y'all want to eat? She never asked them.
No, it wasn't that way. But today the kids ruin. That's what the Bible said. Isaiah. Yeah, kids ruin. What do you want to eat? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know. When I was at Pearl Lake, I had a five-year-old. Was sitting in the chair. I was talking with the mother. Her husband was a deacon in a Baptist church. But it wasn't his son. So he had been remarried, divorced and remarried. And she put her hand on that little boy's leg. Me sitting there at my desk. And she said, hon, is this where you want to go to school at? And I got up and I said, interview's over with. And she said, over with? I said, yes, ma'am. I don't make enough money to deal with you. And I'm not going to deal with you. I said, this five-year-old has no concept of what school is. And if he had a choice, he wouldn't go anyhow. And I said, he'd rather stay home and play. And I said, I'm not going to deal with you or your weak-kneed husband. It's over with. You ain't coming here. And I walked out of the room, left him in my office.
All right, we're teed up here.
So, is this where you want to go to school at? Hogwash. Amen. I ain't never known many kids that even liked school.
They didn't want to go
either. Oh boy, it's school time. No. All right, page 327.
Thank you.
389. Bring them in. Going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to deal with He is able to make you a minister. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And there's our text in verse 6. He hath made us able ministers. Able ministers. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we pray, God, that your will be done in this service. Help us to preach. We ask that you'd touch us. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Many never reach the place of a servant. We were talking earlier while we were eating lunch that everybody today wants to start at the top. Nobody wants to start at the bottom and to move up. And but the catch is if you're going to move up, then you need to know what others are going through. You can't get everything in a book. I don't believe that
even though I'm not against books and I believe you can learn from books, but I believe it's, when you get into real life scenario, it's a completely different aspect. To be a servant of God is the greatest calling for His children. This is not just for preachers. Many people are praying for souls to be saved and the blessings of God on their church, but God tells us to pray for laborers. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, and Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. We live in a day when labor has almost become a cuss word. We don't like labors, amen. We like titles, we like positions, we like paydays, but a servant. And I have a philosophy that I will not ask anybody to do what I'm not willing to do, unless it's something that I'm not capable of doing, okay? If you need brain surgery, I will not do brain surgery. Y'all okay with that? Because I'm not capable of doing brain surgery. They are people that are. Okay? And so I don't have an issue with asking a surgeon to do surgery. I don't have a problem of asking somebody that knows more about a subject to deal with it than I can. But if I can do it, I'm not above doing it. Okay? I am not above cleaning a toilet. I'm not above that. I'm not above cutting grass, except at my house. I don't like cutting grass at my house because it's not easy, okay? But we have lost the aspect of servanthood. Moses, one of the most popular Old Testament saints, was a servant, okay? Was a servant. The word minister has almost been done away with in our society. Today, many preachers enjoy being called reverend. That's a high title, amen. But the Bible doesn't call them reverends. The Bible calls ministers. And we ought to want to have a desire to be a minister. One person can do great things for God. Jason has been teaching about that in Sunday school. God took a little boy, done great things with him. And God can do that, okay? We live in an age of complaining and compromise. During the tribulation period, 144,000 Jews will accomplish what the church has refused to do. Not that we cannot do it, we will not do it. Now, I am not confident that what we're doing will work, but I believe there are some ways that it can work, and I want to deal some with missions. But most people that are unconverted or carnal do not care about souls of men. Now, Dr. Harold Seitler gave this outline, a 7-point outline on why evangelism tarries. He said, first of all, it's the sundown of this age, it's the last days. We're living in the days of the Laodicean church, we're living in the days when people do not want God. If I read my Bible right, in the book of Revelation, they're going to be crying for God to kill them, but they will not be crying for God to save them. They'll be saying to the rocks and cliffs, fall on us. Put us out of our misery. Okay? The second thing is to let down among laborers. We're not raising laborers. Amen. We're not raising a line of people who won't do anything for God. I think if you took all the churches in America and all the things being accomplished, I think very little of it would be done by young people. Amen. When the church I was saved at, I was over the youth for a while when we had a few youth. We'd go to the ballparks every Saturday and hand out tracts. I bet you don't see that anymore. Amen. If we had a widow lady in the church, we'd meet sometimes and we'd go cut their grass and pick up their yard. You don't see that much anymore. But we've done things for people, and I believe that's the will of God. I was trying to teach them to become a minister. It's a letdown among laborers. Point number three, he said it's a shutdown in the prayer room. We're not raising prayer warriors anymore. Number four, he said it's a rundown of compassion. We don't have compassion anymore. Does it seem to you like everybody's got a chip on their shoulder just waiting for you to knock it off? No compassion. Number five, he said it's a turn down of the gospel. They don't want what God has to offer anymore. And look, if you don't see yourself wrong, you don't need God. Number six, he said it's a play down of old time religion. We want the new thing. We want our rock music. Amen. We don't want old-fashioned. I'm going to tell you, I just don't know that you can be saved in the modern movements. I believe it takes the Word of God for a person to be saved. Amen. The Apostle Paul said the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The average person couldn't tell you what the Ten Commandments are now, or that there even are Ten Commandments. Number seven, it's a showdown with the devil. They're not willing to battle anymore. A lot of people's just tired of the fight, and I think that's a pretty good thing. That's why evangelism tarries. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 6 here of our text, he hath made us able ministers. I want to call your attention that this is present tense. It's not something to take place later. Most people are looking to be approved by man for a specific task. If I was to go out to a meeting somewhere of preachers and church people, here's some of the questions that I'm asked. Where'd you go to school at? I usually say you've never heard of it. Or it doesn't exist anymore. The second thing I'm asked is, how many people do you run? And I usually tell them, I'm fat. I'm not running anybody. Amen. I'm fat and old. I can't run. Amen. If I run, you call 911. Amen. Now he has made us able ministers. We're looking to be approved for a specific task. Today, if you want to be a preacher, you know what you need to do? You need to go to Bible college and learn how to be a preacher. No, you don't learn how to be a preacher. College teaches you how to study. There's a calling, okay? There's a calling. Now, the only approval we need is the Lord. I understand there are qualifications for offices in the church, but I don't know of any qualifications for service. We don't like minister because that makes us small, and God big, okay? I remember years ago I was preaching at a church. They did not believe what I believe, but I preached there for a year. They were Free Will Baptists. They believed you could lose your salvation. None of them ever did, by the way. It's quite amazing. Those that believe that never do lose it. Okay? I told them, I said, I believe y'all are stronger on eternal security than I am. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, none of y'all ever lost it. It's amazing, Brother David. You'd think it one of them would have, wouldn't you? Come to find out, the only ones that ever lost it are the ones that left the church. And so the church become the final authority for salvation. Now, here's what they said. They said, here's our book, the Free Will Baptist Doctrines and Practice. They said, if you will line up with the Bible and line up with this book, then you can be a Free Will Baptist preacher. And I said, what if I just line up with the Bible? Would that be okay? And they said, well, you're supposed to line up with the book too. I said, but what about the Bible? And he said, you know, that kind of makes sense. If you line up with the Bible, we really shouldn't care what our book says, should we? But by the way, they did care. But he's made us able ministers. Now, salvation provides a home in heaven. It provides a hope from sin. But it also provides everything we need to serve the Lord and accomplish His will. I believe that when a person gets saved, God imparts into that individual. They may not know it. They may not understand it. They may not even comprehend it. But you have everything on the inside of you to get you to accomplish what God wants in your life. Now, that doesn't do away with no need to study. But God has it within us to accomplish His will. The only thing we're promised for a child of God is if we live godly, we shall suffer persecution. If the preachers in the Bible were in America today, they would not have large churches. They would have no radio programs. They would have no TV programs. They would be hated. You heard us talking a little bit between services about Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff became a hero after he died. There was a lot of fundamentalists that didn't want to associate with Brother Roloff because of the negativity in his ministry for not caving in. And that's just a fact. But when he died, he became like a hero. But he wasn't a hero while he was alive. But he was a man of God. Persecution. The motivation for serving is for changed lives. Look, the only thing that's really going to matter in our life is how many people we've affected for the cause of Christ. It's not going to be what people think about us. It's not going to be what we want people to think about us. But how many people have we actually affected? How many people have we made a difference in their lives? That's just a good question, isn't it? You know, some people will never make a difference. Jay was teaching there. Other than David's brothers, which we are told there, we don't even know who was in the army of Israel. All we know is they was all hiding behind trees when Goliath come out. We don't know their names. We do know, as I mentioned after, that after David exhibited faith in God, that it gave them courage to fight with David after Goliath had failed. By the way, they were valiant. Now my question is, would they have been valiant if David hadn't have been there? I don't think so, Brother David. But because a young guy said, is there not a cause? Because a young man said, you know, I'm going to do something about this. This is not right. We are different than the Philistines. We have a God that is able. And we're going to do what our God desires for us to do, and that's to stand up for Him. And really, that's what David did. The motive is change lives. Our lives speak more about us than our lips do. What we do is really what we are. You know, they say about character, character is what you do when no one's watching. There's a little bit of hypocrite in all of us. We all want to look good. We all want people to think good of us. But what do we do when no one's looking? Now, I want to say this. Degrees do not make a man of God. There's been more preachers with no degrees than there have been preachers with degrees. Amen. Many of the Bible colleges today just put out dead men. If we're going to be men of God, if we're going to be people of God, then we're going to have to spend time with God. That's where you get it at. They took notice of the disciples that they had been with Jesus. He is able to make us able ministers. How is that? Spending time with Him. Today, people want to try to straighten out a lost man without Christ. Amen. One preacher, I've heard one guy say one time, said you got to catch a fish before you can clean a fish. They don't do any good to clean them before you catch them. We live in a society today that wants to clean people up without getting them right. Is that not what most of the programs does in our churches? And I'm not against these programs, okay? What about the addictive programs? I wonder how many of the churches that have them programs actually preach against the addiction that they want people to be delivered from. If you paint sin dark and black and ugly, it's a whole lot better than if you dress it up. Amen. Today we have affairs instead of adultery. Amen. We have alcoholism instead of drunkenness. Amen. We have sex issues instead of whoremongers and whores. What I'm trying to say is we paint a pretty picture for sin. And it's no longer ugly. As a matter of fact, it's what people want. Amen. We have those that talk about the negativity of cigarettes, but what about the stuff they're replacing it with? Y'all think them chemicals is better for you than tobacco? No. Amen. I've seen windows roll down and smoke roll out. And I thought, I don't see how they're not choking to death in that thing if there's as much smoke on the inside as they are coming out of that window. I wonder how much is being preached against. Divorce care. I wonder how many is preaching against divorce. That's a fair question, isn't it? One preacher said this. He said, instead of putting a fence up around the cliff, we build a hospital at the bottom of the cliff to catch those that have fallen off. That's too late. It only takes one thing to wreck your life. And by the way, some things will mark you. And Jay, a man is marked in his youth. David committed sins that most people shouldn't commit. But David is known for killing Goliath, not for the sins he committed. That destroyed his family. David's chastisement was fourfold. His home was a wreck. But he is still a man after God's own heart. But he's marked in his youth. What you learn in your youth and what you apply in your youth can last you in a lifetime. See, the problem in America, and I mentioned this morning, is nobody's learning anything in their youth except how to play. You see, man works from the outside in, God works from the inside out. Man says, you know what? We'll help you get off of this stuff. We'll make you a better husband, a better man. God says, I don't want you a better man, I want you a new man. He works from the inside out. And that's the way the Spirit of God is. Romans 8:9, but if but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What is missing in our church is that inward work. That inward work will get you and help you and grow you into what you ought to be. The outward work just satisfies the appearance of man. The Spirit of God moving on an individual, an able minister. By the way, minister is really a servant type attitude. Most people are not willing to miss the spotlight in order for God to get the glory. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. I want you to look at one verse. How much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. purge yourself from dead works to serve the living God. Now, you are here this afternoon, and I appreciate your faithfulness. How much more difficult is it in our generation? We can't even get people to worship God, much less serve God. Just think about that. We close down a Wednesday night service because nobody has anything to pray about. We move our Sunday night service to Sunday afternoon to make it easier for people to attend a service they don't want to attend anyhow. I've toyed with moving it back. Brother David said, won't nobody come? They're not staying anyhow. Y'all don't know how much I miss my Sunday afternoon nap. Usually by the time I get through, and I appreciate Jason teaching, Brian has taught some. If you do Sunday school Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, then I'm usually exhausted. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I'm old. Okay? I can think about work and get tired. But we can't even get people to worship. How many services do we have in a month's time for everybody to worship? That doesn't affect them on Monday. Amen. Sammy Allen used to say, he said, if I got a member in my church and they're not there Sunday, he said, I don't even go visit them to Tuesday because I know if they too sick to come to church, he said, they're on death's door and they'll still be in bed when I get there on Tuesday. Now, I know that was sarcasm. But I'm going to tell you what, people will die on Sunday, but they're fine on Monday. And by the way, when they do come, are they coming to worship, or are they coming to get out, or just say they won't come to church? If God showed up in the average church, we would be so out of place. I've heard the old preacher say, man, we had services that started, so we didn't leave 2 o'clock in the morning. How would that go over today? Brother David, I know you've heard of stories like that. They'd come on Sunday morning. I mean, they wouldn't eat or nothing else. They'd just stay. God show up. They'd just get out. Amen. Revivals going 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. That ain't happening in our generation. He's able to make us able ministers. That is present tense. The problem is most of us don't want to be ministers. We live in a society that wants to be chiefs. And folks, that's just not this church. That is our whole nation. We want to be chiefs. Amen. Now here's the truth of the matter. There's only a couple of jobs in the world, Jason, where you start out on top. One of them is digging a well. You know where the other one is? Digging a grave. You start out on top and you go down. Everything else you work up. But he's able to make it. How many people do you think of 10 churches in our area that really has a desire for God to do something in their life? Just think about that. I preached on Jonah this morning. God wanted to do something in Jonah's life. He said, you got to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. We don't always pick and choose God's will for our life. But if we're going to be able ministers, we got to be willing to bloom where God plants us for His honor and His glory. Paul said, look, I don't need a letter from you. Look at my life. Look at my life. It speaks volumes. I don't need your approval. I have God's approval. That's all that matters. Able ministers. Now I want to close with this thought. This is the way the devil works. For the average person that wants to do something for God, usually the first thing that comes through your mind is, I'm not able to do that. Okay? Jason, how much fear was it the first time you taught Sunday school? Yeah. Brian, what about you? That's the first question. I'm not able to do this. Or what if I mess up? What if somebody asks me a question I don't know the answer to? I mean, all of these doubts and fears come into us. But the Bible says here in our text, He hath made us able ministers. If we can't do it on our own, it takes God to get us to that place. And folks, that's what it's all about. We can't do it without Him. We shouldn't do it without Him. We should have no desire to do it without Him. But let's let God take a frail vessel and get glory out of it. Able ministers. I can do all things through Christ Jesus our Lord. I can. There's our text. He is able, and He hath made us able ministers. Amen. Jason, you can do anything God wants you to do according to His will. It's in you. The same for each and every one of us. He is able. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful for your goodness and mercy. We pray you'd have your way now in our lives and hearts. We thank you and love you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And you're dismissed.